EuropaCore presents. A EuropaCore Javelina Film Company production. Tommy Lee Jones. The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada. Barry Pepper. Julio Cesar Cedillo. Dwight Yoakam. January Jones. Melissa Leo. Levon Helm. Mel Rodriguez. Cecilia Suarez. Ignacio Guadalupe. And Vanessa Bauche. Music by Marco Beltrami. Written by Guillermo Arriaga. Directed by Tommy Lee Jones. It's daytime, and in the dry plains of West Texas, an open-roofed Jeep carrying two middle-aged men in hunting gear snakes its way between the scrubs on a meandering dirt road. The vehicle pulls to a stop, and the two men look off in either direction. The hunter sitting in the passenger seat raises a pair of binoculars. Not far from the road, a wild dog's feeding on something out of view.
Some coyotes hopping around across the road from that windmill. What are they doing? Hell, I don't know. Looks like they're eating something, I guess. Want to shoot a coyote? Hell yes.
Reaching into the back of the Jeep, the driver pulls out a rifle with a scope and takes aim. His partner puts his fingers in his ears.
That's a dead son of a bitch.
A moment later, the two men make their way over to the coyote. Approaching the animal, they both suddenly freeze.
Fuck.
A mortuary.
When they find him?
Sometime this morning. He's buried on a hill up near Baracho Peak.
Who killed him?
I don't have a fucking clue. Was he involved in, with drugs or smuggling or anything like that?
Okay, yes. No.
I didn't ask.
The first burial of Melquiades Estrada. Mike and Lou Ann, a couple in their 20s, are led towards a prefabricated home by a bald, overweight estate agent.
Joe Edna, let Earl tend to the hot dogs and the hamburgers. He'll bring charcoal and the ice and the folding chairs and the whole nine yards. You just be sure it ain't many. Don't have to worry about a place to go to the little girl's room. And tell Shawnell she can forget about a car on Saturday night if she don't show up. I love you too, baby. Gotta go. This beauty has two bedrooms, each one with its own bathroom, central AC and heat throughout. All of our homes come standard equipped with electric oven, washer, dryer, and dishwasher. You Waste King garbage disposal is optional, of course, but it's a good option because we charge a factory wholesale price on it with no installation fee, and it's top of the line equipment.
A train rolls by.
We're strictly talking. Strictly top of the line all the time. That's our motto.
How much does this house cost?
$60,000. But if you're really interested, I can get you a 10% discount, I think.
Mike considers.
Where y'all from?
Cincinnati.
Oh, long way from home, huh? What line of work bring you to Texas?
Border Patrol.
Oh.
We're always a long way from home.
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, this mobile residence has the highest resale value of any domestic residence in its price range in the Southwest, time and time again.
I don't know.
Well, we also have some excellent previously owned mobile residences in the lower price ranges, if that would be your requirement.
Meanwhile, Pete Perkins, the 50-something rancher who viewed Melchiades' corpse, emerges from the Cibolo County Hospital and leans against a pickup, sighing wearily. Sometime earlier, he and a group of fellow cowboys are gathered in a barn. They fall silent as Melchiades appears at the door on horseback. Melchiades says, "I think my horse needs water." And Pete replies, "Where'd you come from?"
Coahuila.
Melchiades answers, "Coahuila." Pete asks, "What are you doing in Texas?" And Melchiades says, "Looking for work." Pete responds, "What kind of work?" Melchiades looks around nervously and says, "I'm just a cowboy." A man in green uniform drags Melchiades' blood-stained corpse. Outside the hospital.
Hey, Perkins. There's the stuff that your friend had on.
A photograph.
You know who they are?
It's his wife and kids.
You have any idea how to get hold of them?
Hell, they live in Mexico. Can I keep this?
Yeah, I guess for a while. We're going to have to do an autopsy on it.
The one you get through, I want you to give Melchiades to me.
Hell, I can't do that. Are you crazy?
No. I'm not.
Mike's wearing a green Border Patrol uniform as he and Lou Ann sit at the breakfast table in their new home.
How'd it go? All right, see you tonight.
Come back early, though. I get real bored here.
Haven't you made friends with the neighbors?
No, I don't like them.
A woman's walking a dog.
I'm gonna buy you a Nintendo so you don't get so bored.
Okay. And take me to the mall this Saturday in Odessa.
Okay, babe. Find out where it is.
Sheriff Belmont's at the mortuary.
A deceased died of a gunshot wound of an AR-15 223 bullet. It entered 2 inches left of the stern between the fourth and the fifth rib. Impact caused the lung to burst. The severe hemorrhaging took him 15, 20 minutes to die. I would estimate that he died 7 days ago. The trajectory of the bullet indicates the shot was fired from 300 yards away.
He was gunned down.
Listen, bud, we need to bury him now. Refrigeration in this dump's broke down, and I got to be back in El Paso tomorrow morning.
Okay, bury him.
Need to notify his relatives.
He ain't got any.
217 clear.
Sitting in his marked Border Patrol vehicle, drinking a cup of coffee, Mike watches a bird of prey fly over the desert.
359 clear.
He reaches over to the passenger seat and picks up an adult magazine. He turns to a page featuring two topless women. Putting down the magazine, he finishes his coffee and gets moving. His car races across the desert and skids to a halt beside two parked Border Patrol vehicles. Mike jumps out, joining a colleague who's looking off into the distance.
Where are they? Right down there in that draw.
The three patrolmen sprint towards a group of Mexican men and women. Mike tackles a man to the ground, then grabs a young woman. Another woman goes to help her, but she yells, "Run, run, Mariana!" And a man pulls Mariana away. Handing the woman over to his colleague, Mike runs off in pursuit of Mariana and her partner. Gaining on them, he trips on the long grass and falls to the ground.
Alto! Alto!
The couple scamper along a dry riverbed, and Mike takes to higher ground in order to head them off. Running alongside them, he leaps onto the man's back, then kicks him in the stomach. When Mariana runs over to help, Mike punches her in the face.
Stay down, bitch!
As Mike grabs one of his wrists, the man takes his free hand and reaches out to Mariana, but Mike roughly pushes her away. A moment later, the illegal immigrants are sitting in a circle around Mike's superior, Captain Gomez.
How many got away?
Three.
Well, somebody's got to pick strawberries. You're way overboard there, boy.
No, sir. Fuck it, they were trying to get away.
I want you to think about how much trouble I can get into if you keep beating these people up. I don't like trouble, boy. I don't like it at all.
Meanwhile, cattle's being herded across the plains by men wearing cowboy hats and chaps riding on horseback. At the rear of the group, Pete points instructions to Melquiades as the two ride side by side. Sitting at a table in a wood cabin, Pete looks up at a man sitting opposite him.
I'm awful sorry about Mel.
So am I.
He's a good Mexican. Pete, you've been cooped up in here for 2 days. You need to get outside and do something.
What's after you?
The man sitting in another room. Putting on a pair of glasses and his hat, he gets up and walks through the doorway separating them.
Brought you some jerky.
He takes out two bullet casings.
I found these shells out there where Mel's ghost was on the loose. They was about 300 yards up the hill. They might mean something.
As Pete examines one of the shells, the man turns and leaves. I got 9 million pictures. A cargo train trundles past the Sands Motel. Parking his white pickup truck outside the motel's adjoining cafe, Belmont heads inside and takes a seat at one of the tables. Rachel, a 40-something waitress wearing a tight t-shirt and denim skirt, emerges from the kitchen and does the rounds with a jar of coffee.
You ladies fan?
She refills Luann's cup.
How's your egg, sweetie? I got a picture of my family.
While Belmont waits for Rachel to make her way over to him, Luann takes a drag on a cigarette and watches them both from across the cafe. When Rachel steps over to his table, Belmont nonchalantly brushes her behind before putting his hand up her skirt.
Bob's watching us.
It's been a while since we've had some time together. You dirty bitch.
See you tomorrow.
The cook glares at them from the kitchen.
Miss, just a second.
Same place.
Same place.
Rachel walks away to serve another customer, just as Pete steps in through the door.
Okay.
Glancing at Rachel as he passes her, he sits down opposite Belmont.
What do you want? I won't talk to you.
He turns over a cup, dropping the two shells onto the table.
We found that stuff where we found Melquiades's goats.
Belmont doesn't so much as glance at them.
Don't you want to?
No, I don't. I want to sit here and have my breakfast. You can talk to me about that during business hours.
It might be some kind of proof.
Hey, how many 223 shells you think there are laying out there? Hell, some of them don't even have your fingerprints on them. That shit won't mean shit in the court of law just because you found it laying under a bush. You got a legal system to think about here.
A young boy rides a BMX through a puddle outside Mike and Lou Ann's home.
You goddamn son of a bitch!
Inside, Mike's cutting his toenails on a recliner while Lou Ann chops vegetables in the kitchen.
You've been late for dinner the last 4 nights.
Work. Work is hard. Real hard. I work hard.
Lou Ann's watching a soap opera on TV.
Lou Ann, what's for dinner?
We have bills. Stuffed zucchini and broccoli.
That's it?
Have you looked at the tires? I'm on a diet.
Mike gets out of his chair and walks to the kitchen.
I know there's someone else. I know it. That's ridiculous. No, it's not.
Fat.
It's that girl from yes, the I am. A little bit.
Sheila. No way.
I saw you together when I brought your lunch last.
You're my red hot mama.
She's pretty. She's prettier.
He walks up behind her.
She's free and happy and has that long red hair. And I'm not stupid, Johnny. I've got eyes in my head. That girl will wreck your life.
Unzipping his fly, Mike reaches up her skirt and pulls down her underwear. Resigned to letting him have his way, Lou Ann leans over the kitchen counter and keeps her eyes fixed on the TV.
You see?
Mike thrusts himself into her and rolls his eyes upwards.
Oh, Johnny.
Climaxing and flopping down onto Lou Ann's back, Mike does up his fly and turns his attention to the TV.
Yes, darling. I remember River Valley. We were happy then. And we'll be happy again. I know it. Please.
Helping himself to a vegetable, he turns away and smacks Lou Ann on the behind as he heads back to the living room.
I hope so.
Now, Lou Ann's sitting in the cafe reading a celebrity magazine. Peering out of a window, she spies a woman wearing a bathing costume, reading a book while holding an umbrella. Rachel walks over and tops up her cup of coffee.
Thanks.
You're getting to be a regular customer around here.
Well, I don't have a lot to do right now.
Fixing her with a cold stare, Rachel turns and walks away. Turning back to the window, Lou Ann watches the woman across the street climb into her motorhome and close her umbrella. On a cattle ranch, Pete and Melquiades look on as a calf is separated from the rest of the herd and led into an enclosure for examination.
Come on, bring him, bring him!
A man squirts the animal with a blue liquid, while another checks its teeth.
Solid mouth, he's good.
Melquiades asks, how many calves left? Pete says, 120. That's a shitload. When's the boss coming from Houston? Saturday afternoon. Fucking mama's boy, responds Melquiades. He says he's a rancher just because they bought him this ranch, but I ain't seen him out there busting his ass. Pete says, you're in a twist because the only woman you've had for a while is your own hand. Let's go to Midland this Saturday. Melquiades says, the border patrol will nab me in Midland. Bullshit, Pete retorts. You scared of women or what? Belmont and Rachel are sitting naked on a sofa.
Don't worry. This happens to Bob sometimes, too.
And what goddamn well don't happen to me? It's the first fucking time it's ever happened to me. I don't give a shit what happens to Bob.
Yeah, I know. Viagra works for Bob.
I'll turn truck stop, queer, and blowjob give it before I use that shit.
That's what Bob says.
Fuck Bob.
Pete steps out of his pickup into a sandstorm that's sweeping across the town. Heading into the cafe, he joins a line of people queuing to help themselves to coffee.
Hey man, you still listen to that DJ White Boy Candy rap with those Casillas, man? Pieces, pieces, Skittles, M&M's, man. I'm gonna stop listening to that. Cumbia Kings. That's what you need to listen to, man.
Pete questions a border patrolman standing in front of him.
What's your favorite rifle round?
What?
What kind of rifle y'all shoot? Oh, y'all shoot the same round?
AR-15, 223 standard Y.
I'm just curious. I always use a 30-30 myself. Lever action. Open sight.
The patrolman and his partner leave the cafe.
What you missing out on? Hurry up, man. This pinch of M&M is all you
deserve. Moving back in time, Mike steps out of the cafe and takes a sip from a cup of coffee before climbing into his marked 4x4. As he reverses out of his parking space and drives away, Rachel watches him from inside the cafe.
Long as my two hands are fit to you.
Heading into the desert along the solitary dirt road, Mike drives along, tapping the steering wheel to the music. He pulls to a stop between two hills, then puts on the handbrake and turns off the engine. Peering out of the passenger window, then leaning out of the driver's side, he scans the surrounding area, but sees no sign of life whatsoever. He picks up his magazine, cup of coffee, and binoculars. He opens the door and gets out of the truck. Stuffing the rolled-up magazine into his back pocket, he closes the car door. Mike sweeps the distant landscape with his binoculars and finds it equally desolate. Looking around and noticing a rock, he sits down and takes out his magazine.
Hello.
Undoing his belt, he gets to his feet and stands holding the magazine with one hand while the other moves down the front of his trousers. He gazes at a picture of a topless woman crawling on all fours. Stunned by the shot, Mike drops the magazine and scampers back towards the 4x4, clutching his trousers as he does so. Pulling off his belt, he grabs a rifle and heads back over to the rock, ducking as he moves quickly through the long grass. He lowers himself onto his front, then sets his sights on a target in the distance and fires off a couple of rounds. He looks to see what he's hit. The second burial of Melquiades Estrada. A mechanical digger pats down a plot of fresh cemetery soil, while one of Belmont's deputies supervises and Mike looks on with Captain Gomez. The operator takes out a small wooden cross and a pen.
How do we register him?
Write down Melquiades.
Melquiades what? Where's he from?
Mexico. Maybe Coahuila.
The man gets writing and Gomez crosses himself before getting into his vehicle. Rachel and Lou Ann are having a smoke in the empty cafe.
Cincinnati's real pretty in the springtime. There's lots of malls.
I bet you miss it.
We're glad to be here. You know, wherever the job takes us.
But this is different.
Yeah. We were both real popular in high school. Now it just seems like we don't know anybody anymore.
Well, living out here takes some getting used to, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it does.
It must seem real different.
Do you know where, like, the mall's at in Odessa?
Sure. It's easy to find.
A bullet from Mike's rifle puts Melquiades on the ground. Moving towards him, Mike discovers an injured coyote. Looking around and putting two and two together, he lowers his rifle and rushes over to Melquiades, disturbing a herd of goats that are grazing beside him.
Hey, man. You okay?
Mm-hmm. No.
Pete arrives at the sheriff's station and sees Belmont down a corridor.
This is working hours?
We're about to close.
You need to investigate them border patrols that use 223.
You want me to investigate the Kennedy assassination while I'm at it? Before you start bitching, I suggest you find out what that little fucker was involved with.
Melquiades wasn't involved in nothing.
Belmont goes to walk away.
By the way, we already buried him.
I told you to notify me. Seemed like you'd at least notify me.
You're not his family. I don't have to notify you about a goddamn thing. He was a wetback.
Turning away, he steps into a room and slams the door behind him. It's dusk, and Melquiades is looking on as Pete puts a horse through its paces. Running the animal back and forth, he makes it turn on the spot before trotting over to Melquiades. Melquiades says, "You like him?" Pete replies, "It's the best horse I ever saw." Melquiades says, "Take him, he's yours." "Really, take him." Pete says, "But it's your horse." Melquiades says, "Mine's yours, what's the difference?" Melquiades insists, he's got Pete branded in his brain. "No, he cost you a lot." Melquiades replies, "Shit, don't even get off him." It's sunset, and Luann steps out of her house to find Mike sitting on the front steps, nursing a bottle of liquor. She sits down next to him and they sit in silence. Mike spits on the ground and wipes his mouth with the back of his hand. Then Luann rests her head on his shoulder. It's another day, and Pete's driving his truck with Melquiades in the passenger seat.
When you check in the cheating hotel, you'll be back.
Meanwhile, Rachel's mopping the floor of the cafe. While Luann sits at one of the tables, smoking a cigarette. Stopping to look at her, Rachel turns to Bob, who's cleaning in the kitchen.
Hey, Bob, how long have we been married?
12. Hell, I don't know. The women get dressed to kill. What is it?
Rachel and Luann share a meaningful glance. Pete's truck passes over a level crossing. Pulling up in a car park, Pete senses Melquiades' apprehension. Pete tells Melquiades to relax, but Melquiades says, "But the border patrol is everywhere. It's fine, man, don't worry. Melquiades says, where are you going? Where do you think? To get the girls. Hurry up. As Melquiades shifts uncomfortably in his seat, something in the truck's passenger wing mirror catches his eye. Getting out, he walks over to a shop window displaying several large-screen TVs. Stepping onto the curb, he stands with his face against the glass, watching in awe at the images flashing in front of his eyes. Pete returns with Rachel and Luann on each arm.
Can I see some photo ID, sir?
Girls, this is Melquiades. Melquiades, te presento a Rachel y,
Luann.
Luann.
Nice to meet you.
You work with Pete, right?
Chavito, vámonos.
They head to the truck. Melquiades says, that's the one from the cafe, right? Yes, genius. But she's married. So's the other one. Oh, shit.
Dang me. Dang me, they ought to take the ropes and hang me high from the highest tree.
The two couples arrive at a motel.
That y'all right down there, 205. Nos vemos en tres horas.
I gotta be back in 2 hours, solo una hora.
Pete waves three fingers at Melquiades and Luann before following Rachel into a room. Left alone, Melquiades glances at Luann before taking his key and putting it in the lock. But when he's unable to get it open, Luann steps forward and does it for him. Entering the room, she reaches out a hand and pulls Melquiades in after her. A moment later, they're sitting at the end of a double bed in awkward silence. Melquiades smiles nervously at Luann.
Want to watch TV? Watch television? Want to? Tele? VCO?
Oh, si, está bien.
Luann picks up the remote.
I'm sorry.
All of the channels are showing porn. Luann switches off the TV.
Music. Musica?
Musica, sí. Okay.
Climbing over the bed, Luann switches on a clock radio.
Wanna dance?
She stands up and offers him her hand. Getting up to accept it, Melquiades places his other hand on her hip and begins to dance with her, all the time watching his feet, until eventually developing a rhythm. He begins to relax, and the two of them move closer to each other until they're dancing cheek to cheek. Smiling to herself, Luann places her hand on Melquiades' chest. Sitting beside Melquiades' grave with a six-pack resting next to him, Pete pours beer over the soil before taking a sip himself. Writing on the cross reads, Melquiades, Mexico. Parking up outside the mall, Mike remains in his seat as Luann goes to get out.
You're not coming.
No, I'll wait here.
You've always liked the mall.
I'll wait.
But I don't want to hurry. I want to shop.
I will wait for you here.
She gets out of the car and walks around to the driver's side. Luann checks herself in the wing mirror before turning to Mike.
Don't smoke.
She heads off towards the mall entrance. Staring at her with bloodshot eyes, Mike has visions of himself kneeling over Melquiades' dead body, looking down at his own blood-stained hands. Reaching into his shirt pocket, Mike takes out a cigarette and lights it. Looking anxiously in the direction of the mall, he takes another long drag, inhaling deeply before emptying his lungs.
Then I wish you.
Pete and Melquiades are driving through a scrapyard with Rachel and Luann sitting between them, singing.
I love this song!
I
understand you people. Believe you me, I do, and we are not locals. No way!
I'll be there before the next teardrop falls.
Rachel's and Luann's cars are parked at the center of the scrapyard. Pete pulls up behind them. Getting out of the truck, they split into two couples and begin to dance either side of the vehicle. Dancing with Rachel, Pete can't help looking over at Melquiades, who twirls Luann around. Suddenly, Rachel stops dancing.
Shit, what time is it?
6:20.
Oh, fuck, Bob's gonna kill me.
When am I gonna see you again?
Oh, I can't all next week.
Is it the sheriff's turn?
Stop it, you know how things are.
Oh, all right, no problem.
Hey, don't mix things up. You're the one I love, darling, the only one. Bell mind something else.
What about old Bob?
Oh, that's different. Bob's my husband. You understand, right?
Giving him a kiss, Rachel rushes over to the cars, followed by Luann, who pauses and returns for her bag. Pete hands it to her.
Bye.
Let's go. Pete and Melquiades get back into the truck, while the women leave separately. Set in the dry plains, a windmill revolving steadily in a gentle breeze towers over a pen containing a small herd of goats. Melquiades rides up to the pen on a white horse. He dismounts and ties the animal to the fence. Opening the gate, he enters the pen and begins ushering the goats out into the open. Following the last of them out through the gate, he notices a coyote lurking in the distance. He walks over to his horse and pulls a rifle from his saddlebag. Raising the weapon, he takes aim. He misses with the first shot and fires off two more rounds before another two ring out from somewhere in the distance. Thrown back by the second shot, Melquiades lands on his back and coughs up blood as he clutches his chest. Mike comes jogging down the hill, slowing as he gets closer to his stricken victim.
Hey, man. You okay? You bueno? Huh?
As Melquiades begins to lose consciousness, Mike walks over to him and kicks his foot.
You bueno?
Mike looks around anxiously. At the cafe.
How you doing, Sam?
Just fine.
Morning.
Morning. I need to talk to you about that dead Mexican y'all found.
What about him?
I'd rather talk outside.
All right.
As Belmont follows Gomez outside, Rachel moves over to a window and listens through the open slats.
Is there a new officer, Mike Norton?
Yeah, a little prick.
Apparently he was out there on Barrancho Peak, okay? Shots were fired, and he returned. There was only two of them out there. Mike Norton, new kid from Cincinnati, now Wetback.
Shots were fired, he fired him.
He fired at him first. Now, I don't want any shit.
The two men shake hands and part. It's sunset, and Pete's sitting at the table in his cabin when the sound of a car engine makes him turn to face the door. Outside, Rachel gets out of her car. Getting up out of his chair, Pete goes out to meet her.
What are you doing here?
I need to talk to you.
What about?
Belmont came by the cafe today.
So what?
Border Patrol by the name of Gomez came looking for him.
So what?
Gomez told him who killed that Mexican.
Fixing her with an icy stare, Pete puts his hand up to the side of her neck.
Don't fool with me, girl.
Hell no. He told Belmont one of the other Border Patrols killed him in a shootout.
Did he say his name?
Yeah. A guy named Mike Norton.
You heard him say that?
Said his name like three times.
What are they gonna do with him?
He didn't say.
Pete lets go of her neck and considers. A bit later, his truck races through the town and skids to a halt in front of Belmont's pickup.
What the hell's wrong with you? God damn!
You gotta arrest him.
Who do you think you are?
You gotta arrest that fella killed Melquiades.
Oh, really? And who the hell'd that be?
Well, that damn Border Patrolman, Mike Norton.
With what evidence?
You know damn well who killed Mel.
I don't know a goddamn thing.
You know damn well who killed Melquiades. You ain't gonna arrest him, are you?
You better get out of here before I throw your ass in jail.
Belmont gets back into his pickup and speeds off.
You ain't gonna arrest him.
Sometime later, Lou Ann's washing her car outside her house as a group of children start a game of American football in the street. Pete's parked across the street watching her. Turning to look out the driver's window, he looks on impassively as Lou Ann's neighbor ties her dog's lead to a chain-link fence and puts down a bowl of food. Lifting the dog onto its hind legs, the woman looks deep into its eyes and kisses it on the mouth. Pete turns his attention to the kids playing in the street. One of the boys throws the ball into the air, and another attempts to catch it, only for it to bounce off his face. Just then, the children scatter as Mike's patrol car comes trundling down the road and parks outside the house. Pete watches as Mike steps into the house and Lou Ann follows him inside. Sitting tight, Pete waits until nightfall before going over to the house and knocking on the door.
Who is it? I'm here for Patrolman Norton. Captain Gomez sent me.
Yeah, sir.
As Mike opens the door, Pete holds up a gun and hits him across the face with it.
You scream again, I'll kill you.
Lou Ann sobs silently.
Put your hands over your head.
Mike does as he's told.
You got any handcuffs?
Yeah, my uniform belt.
Go get them handcuffs and that uniform, bring them back in here and keep quiet.
Do what he says, Lou Ann.
Fetching the uniform, Lou Ann throws it down beside Mike.
Put that uniform on and then them handcuffs.
As Mike starts to get dressed, Pete looks over at Lou Ann.
You tell her what you did?
Mike looks at her.
What did he do?
He killed Melquiades Estrada. A moment later, Pete leads Mike outside. And when he attempts to resist, he slams his head against the bonnet of his 4x4. Then cuffs one of his wrists to the bumper.
You need to try to relax.
Inside the house, Luann's sitting tied to the recliner with tape over her mouth. Pete drapes a blanket over her.
Might get cold.
He kneels down beside her.
You call the police, I'm gonna have to kill him, darling.
Stroking her hair, he picks up a remote control and turns on the TV.
But there's the rain coming now through Cincinnati. We could be looking at heavy amounts of rain through the day on Friday, so flash flooding will be a huge concern for us in the tri-state area.
A little later, Pete's truck pulls into the cemetery and parks up beside Melquiades' modest grave. Pete goes to get out, but hesitates when Mike makes no effort to move.
Get out.
Mike begins to weep.
You gonna kill me?
Pete puts the gun to his head.
Get out.
Doing as he's told, Mike gets out, keeping his eyes firmly shut. His wrists are handcuffed in front of him. Dragging him closer to the grave, Pete places a shovel in his hand.
Dig him up.
Melquiades Estrada, you stupid gringo son of a bitch. You killed him, now dig him up.
Mike begins to sob.
Today's storm that swept into Ohio sent dozens of vehicles sliding.
Meanwhile, a distraught Luann has no choice but to sit and watch TV. Having dug down to Melquiades' coffin, Mike puts down the shovel and bends over to open it. As he lifts up half of the lid, the stench hits him and he immediately throws up.
Get him out.
Pete puts his foot on his shoulder and pushes him down. Lifting the lower half of the coffin lid, Mike reaches down for the body bag. Hearing distant cheers, Pete looks around and eyes a small stadium illuminated by floodlights. Having raised the body bag to shoulder height, Mike attempts to lift it out of the grave, but loses his footing and falls into the coffin, where he's pinned down by the corpse. Pete can't help but laugh. Later, the body bag secured to the back of Pete's truck as it pulls up outside a small stone building. Opening the driver's door, Pete hesitates once more.
Get out.
They get out together, and Pete removes the chain around Melquiades' corpse.
Get around here.
Mike moves around to the driver's side.
Take him in the house.
Pete opens the door, and Mike lugs Melquiades into the house.
Sit him on that bed.
Mike drops the bag onto the bed, while Pete takes a seat at a round table.
Turn that light on.
Mike switches on a bedside lamp.
Sit down at this table. In that chair.
Mike does so.
Melquiades lived here. That was his bed. Kept his clothes right over there.
Mike's resting his hands on a plate.
That was his plate. That was his cup.
Reaching for a jug, Pete pours something into the cup.
Drink it.
Mike looks him square in the eye. Pete places his gun on the table.
Drink my cup.
Begrudgingly picking up the cup with both hands, Mike glares at Pete, then drinks. Pete smirks, and Mike slams the cup down on the table.
These was his work clothes. Put them work clothes on, then put them dress clothes on Milky Eyes.
A bit later, Mike sitting beside the bed wearing Milky Eddie's work clothes as Pete empties a sack of salt over the uncovered corpse before wrapping it in the bed sheets. By a lake, Milky Eddie's is showing Pete the photograph of his wife and children. The oldest is Elizabeth. She must be 14. And Yesenia is probably 12. And this little guy is Aaron. He's going to be a damn good cowboy. And this is Evelia. Evelia Camargo, my wife.
Evelia Camargo, mi mujer.
¿Hace cuánto que no nos ve?
How long since you've seen them?
Cinco años.
About 5 years.
Prométeme una cosa, Pedro.
Promise me one thing, Pete. If I die over here, carry me back to my family and bury me in my hometown. I don't want to be buried on this side, among all the fucking billboards. Pete says, I'll die before you will. I'm older. But Melquiades repeats, promise me. Melquiades takes a piece of paper out of his pocket. We're here, right? Go down to Ojinaga and head south. Then turn east and follow the Sierra until you come to Coahuila. Then you'll come to a town called El Tostón. Between El Tostón and El Nacimiento, there's a little place named Jimenez. It's my home. Ask for Evelia, my wife, and explain things to her. Pete says, I'll just throw you in the trash. Melquiades says, you take me back to Jimenez, Pete. You promised. Melquiades hands over the hand-drawn map, and Pete gives him back his family photo. Mike's tied Melquiades' body onto the back of a horse.
Come here.
Pete sitting on Melquiades' front porch. He gets up.
Sit down in that chair.
Mike takes a seat.
I'll take them boots.
Wow! Oh, shit!
Pete punched him for trying to resist.
All right. Let's go.
Mike gets up, nursing his bloody nose.
Fucker.
Setting off on horseback with two more horses loaded with gear and Melquiades' body following on, they ride off. The journey. Looking around Melquiades's house, Belmont and his deputy discover Mike's neatly folded uniform.
What do you leave that uniform laying out like that for?
Tells he's crazy.
Belmont gazes out of a window.
What time we find this guy's wife?
About 9 o'clock this morning.
Goddamn crazy son of a bitch, Pete Perkins.
What do you think?
Belmont considers.
I think your son of a bitch is crazy.
Later, Belmont's waiting by his pickup as three Border Patrol cars pull up in the desert, and Captain Gomez gets out with a map of the area.
Right now, they should be somewhere right along in here headed for Mexico.
What about that heat-seeking radar, Yoga?
It don't work.
They found four steers in a canyon on the Crossbar Diamond this morning, about 3 o'clock.
What about the Rangers?
I told them we had to cover, be over by today. You know what I mean?
There's a thousand ways he can go to Mexico, and that son of a bitch is so fucking nuts he might even be headed north to Canada.
We're gonna start with the Llano Largo, the Sierra de Diablo, and the Arroyo Negro. Where are y'all going?
The rest of the United States, I reckon.
Do what?
We'll head southeast over to Allward Canyon.
He gets into his car, and Gomez does likewise. Off in the distance, a thick bank of cloud hangs ominously over a mountain range. Pete and Mike are making their way up a mountainside.
Where are we going?
There's nowhere to go, man!
Mike looks up to see a craggy peak.
We're not going up there, are we?
Climbing to the top of an adjacent peak, Belmont and his deputy spot Pete's trail of horses in the distance. Handing a rifle to his deputy, Belmont rolls up his sleeves and moves over to a rock. Taking off his hat and sunglasses, he takes back the weapon and lowers himself onto his front on top of the rock. He looks down the sights, aiming the rifle at Pete. Releasing the safety catch, he places his finger over the trigger. But just as he's about to squeeze it, he suddenly gets cold feet and has to look away from his target. Then, as he looks back down at them, the four horses disappear behind a hill.
Well, hell.
Belmont lies down on his back.
This is Frank Belmont.
What are you doing?
I'm at work.
Am I going to see you tonight?
Yeah, all right.
Same time, same place?
Yeah, I guess.
Good. Stop at the store and pick up a pack of Kotex.
Uh-huh.
A little later, Pete and Mike have almost reached the summit. Following the trail to the edge of a cliff, they find themselves riding perilously close to a sheer drop. The trail narrows, adding yet more danger. Pete presses on, holding the reins of Mike's horse, which is following directly behind his. They come to a slight incline, and Pete's horse loses its footing on the loose rock, but manages to retain its balance. Suddenly, the trailing horse becomes distressed and tries to pull away from the group. The animal in front of it kicks out, and the trailing horse breaks free, backing towards the edge of the cliff. Rolling over the side, hitting the rocks on the way down, the horse plummets to its death. Meanwhile, Belmont's driving with his deputy when he takes his eye off the road.
Shit!
He's driven into a ditch.
Get out. Get out.
Climbing out of the passenger side, Belmont discovers that the edge of the road has collapsed, forming a trench.
Shit! Shit! Shit!
What am I doing here?
What's our duty, sir?
Shut up.
It's nighttime, and Pete and Mike are sitting beside a campfire with Melquiades' rotting corpse propped up between them. Putting his hand over his mouth, Mike throws off his blanket and goes to get up. Pete points his gun at him.
Where are you going?
Stinks, man. I can't sleep.
Get back over there where you was at.
Glaring at him, Mike reluctantly returns to where he was lying. Pete puts down his gun. Trying to get comfortable, Mike holds his nose and looks across at Melquiades. Ants are crawling all over his face.
Hey. Hey, you.
My name's Pete.
Well, Pete, the ants are eating your friend.
Pete jumps up and rushes over. But as he tries to pick the ants off one at a time, he soon finds himself being bitten. Frantically rolling up his sleeve, he brushes the ants off his arm. He reaches into a bag and pulls out a whiskey flask, then begins dousing Melquiades' head with it. Then, reaching into the fire, he picks up a piece of burning wood and sets the liquor alight. Melquiades' head goes up in flames, and Mike covers his mouth with his shirt. Taking a piece of cloth, Pete pats the flames until they're all out, then picks off what's left of the ants. Brushing down Melquiades' shirt, he sits back, exhausted. The next day, Pete and Mike are continuing their trek across country when they come across an isolated house set in a valley. They make their way towards the building.
Get down, don't try nothing.
Angrily raising his handcuffed wrists, Mike climbs off his horse and falls to the ground, clutching his bare feet. Dismounting, Pete steps up to the front porch.
What's there?
An elderly blind man sitting at a table with a radio in front of him.
Buenos días.
I don't speak Spanish. What do you want?
Our friends want some water for our horses.
Well, help yourself then. I like listening to this Mexican radio station. I can't understand anything, but I like the way Spanish sounds, don't you?
Yes, sir. Sounds all right.
Smells like something dead around here.
I killed a deer a couple days ago, starting to turn.
Yeah. Well, you better throw it away. It's rotten.
I want to keep the hide. You got any salt I could use to cure it?
No, son. I barely got enough salt to put on the dinner table.
You got any alcohol or anything like that?
I got a jug of antifreeze. Would that work?
A bit later, Pete's scrubbing Melquiades' face with a cloth doused in antifreeze. Taking a plastic hose, he dips one end into the bottle of antifreeze and gives the other to Mike.
Suck on this hose.
Mike considers for a moment before snatching the pipe from him and putting it in his mouth. When the liquid reaches his mouth, Pete takes back the hose and wedges it between Melquiades' teeth.
Hey,
Yeah, Mance won't eat him anymore after this.
You're crazy. You're totally fucking crazy, man.
Y'all come and eat!
Looking over his shoulder, Mike gives Melquiades a petulant kick on the leg, then gets to his feet. A moment later, they're both sitting at a dinner table as the old man serves up three bowls of stew. While Pete waits for the old man to replace a lid on the pot, Mike raises his spoon to his mouth.
Let us pray.
Mike puts down his spoon. The old man reaches out, and Pete and Mike hesitantly join hands with him.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this meal and for bringing me these friends and our daily bread and all the animals and all the beasts of the field. Amen.
Mike shovels some stew into his mouth, only to immediately spit it out again. Pete takes a look around.
You live alone?
I've got a son that comes and sees me every month and brings me food. But it's been 6 months since he was here.
What do you live on?
I've got some things stored away.
Mike drinks from a cup. Later, he and Pete are mounted and ready to move on.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you a favor.
Anything you want.
I wanted to ask you if you can shoot me.
Pete and Mike are taken aback.
My son ain't coming back.
Oh, he'll come back.
No. He told me he had cancer. And he told me to go back to town with him. But I don't want to go, because I've always lived here.
Well, we can't do it.
I don't want to offend God by killing myself. It's a problem.
We don't want to offend God either.
It'd be the best thing to do.
Pete and Mike set off.
You're good people. You need to go ahead and shoot me.
You know, I'm innocent. Actually, I didn't mean to kill your friend, man. He shot at me, all right? And I swear to God, really, if I could,
the two men are riding along the bottom of a ravine.
You let me go, and I promise. I swear. I promise I will not press charges.
Belmont.
What's that son of a chap?
I don't know.
You ought to. You've been fucking him.
Rachel just smiles.
We don't talk a lot.
Belmont sitting next to her with his trousers around his ankles and a cushion covering his crotch. Meanwhile, Pete and Mike are crossing a sea of golden sand, bathed in bright sunlight. But as Pete's horse attempts to climb a dune, it loses its footing and falls onto its side, pinning Pete underneath it.
God almighty. Get this horse off of me.
Get up, Bill! Get up!
Come on! Come on, come on, come on!
Having weighed up his options, Mike suddenly leaps out of his saddle and takes off across the sand.
Damn, Bill, get up! Whoa, Bill!
Pete's horse gets back to its feet and drags him along the ground before eventually rolling over in the sand, enabling him to free himself from the stirrups. Removing his rifle from the saddle, Pete aims it at Mike's back, but can't bring himself to fire. He watches as Mike disappears over the crest of a sand dune, then uncocks his rifle and rests it on his shoulder. Barefoot and handcuffed, Mike sprints across a stretch of sand, occasionally looking over his shoulder to see if he's being followed. Suddenly, the terrain beneath him changes, and he finds himself running through a field of sunflowers. He falls to the ground and begins pulling off his jeans. Meanwhile, Pete and the horses are heading off in the opposite direction. Having torn a patch of denim off his jeans, Mike wraps it around one of his feet before straining to tear off another piece with his teeth. He wraps it around his other foot, then ties it in place with a loose shred. Rolling over as he pulls back on what's left of the jeans, he gets back to his feet and continues his escape. Later, the sun's beating down on the desert as Pete and the horses emerge over the crest of a hill. Elsewhere, sunburnt and exhausted, Mike's kneeling on the ground, grimacing as he attempts to catch his breath. Pete slowly making his way towards him. Hugging himself, Mike trembles with fear and exhaustion. Pete rides into view and casually offers Mike the reins of a horse. Gritting his teeth and closing his eyes, Mike tilts his head back and weeps. Dismounting, Pete stares at him impassively. Mike sobbing with his head bowed. Pulling at the cuffs around his wrists, he thumps the ground in front of him. A moment later, Mike's running across a hillside while Pete looks on from above. Later still, he's jogging across a flat stretch of scrubland, looking like he may fall down at any moment, while Pete keeps up with him on horseback, barely breaking a sweat. Slowing to a crawl, Mike begins to falter. A short distance behind him, Pete seems almost amused by his efforts. A short time later, Mike discovers a cliff face dotted with a network of small caves. Crawling into one on his hands and knees, he curls up to rest in the cool shade. Suddenly, a snake buries its fangs in his foot and he's unable to shake it off. Hitting the creature with a rock, he eventually manages to dislodge it and throw it out of the cave. The elderly blind man's listening to the radio on his front porch when a Border Patrol helicopter and half a dozen patrol cars suddenly descend on his house. Switching off the radio, the man gets up to meet the patrolmen. Captain Gomez steps forward and tips his hat.
Good afternoon, sir.
I do.
Sir, we need to know, have you seen anyone coming through this area or in this general area on horseback here lately? Like maybe two men, horseback, maybe with a couple pack horses or mules.
I ain't seen anybody in 30 years.
All right. I am sorry, sir. Have you heard anyone come this way in the past few days or hours?
Are y'all cops?
No, sir, we're actually with the Border Patrol.
Ain't no Mexicans come through here.
We're not looking for Mexicans.
No one come through.
Are you sure?
Hell no, I'm not sure. But I don't think so.
Okay, do you need anything?
The old man considers.
No.
All right, we're moving on.
The chopper veers off, and the Border Patrol cars pull away. The old man heads back inside his house. A group of Mexicans are making their way past the caves where Mike took shelter. One of them says, "This way, hurry up." They slow to a halt. One man says, "Watch out, that's a rattlesnake." And another replies, "He's not gonna bite anybody." A woman exclaims, "A dead guy." Mike's hanging half out of one of the caves, unconscious. Two of the men, Lucio and Thomas, climb up the rock face to investigate. They crawl into the cave and drag Mike out by his legs. Lucio listens to his chest and says, "He's still breathing." Thomas replies, "I think that snake bit him." Looking at Mike's leg, Lucio says, "He sure did." Thomas asks, "Is he a gringo?" And Lucio replies, "He looks too fucked up to be a gringo." Someone else asks, "Has he got money?" Lucio ties a tourniquet around Mike's leg, but Thomas says, "I think it's too late." Pete rides up.
"Tranquilos. Soy amigo."
"Take it easy. I'm a friend."
"We didn't do nothing, mister."
"I know it. What happened to him?"
"He was bit by a snake. He's dying."
"You know where we can get some help?"
"I know a girl who is good with herbs. Maybe she can cure him. But she lives across the border."
"Is it far?"
"No, the border is not far. But La Migra is all around. They are looking for a gringo who kidnapped a Migra agent."
He looks from Pete to Mike.
"You that gringo?"
They all look at Pete.
"See?"
"Yes."
"Can you help me get him across? I don't want him to die."
"Thomas, keep going with them. I'll take the gringo to get cured." Luann sitting in the cafe smoking a cigarette. Rachel comes over, takes off her apron, and sits opposite her. Rachel pulls a cup towards her, and Luann glances at her.
"I'm leaving."
"You're leaving?"
"Yes. I hate this place."
"Maybe he'll come back."
"I don't care."
"He'll come back, honey."
"I don't care. This son of a bitch is beyond redemption."
Rachel turns to stare out of the window, sunlight bathing her face, then looks back at Luann.
"I'm leaving."
Pete and Lucio are on a hill overlooking a river.
"Can you get us across?"
"Yes, but I've never crossed people from this side to that side. Much less on horses."
"Okay, take us."
"And what about the price?"
"What price?"
"The price to cross you is 1,000 a person."
"I don't have $1,000.
$3,000. $1,000 for you. And $1,000 for the gringo. And $1,000 for the dead guy."
"Shit." "I'll find a way to get across."
"Okay, let's make a deal. Give me your rifle and your horse."
"No."
A helicopter sweeps past the hill following the river, and Pete watches it go.
"I'll give you the horse. Not my horse. The other horse."
"And the rifle?"
"Just the horse."
"Sorale."
He says, "Okay, done deal," and pats Pete's shoulder.
"Okay."
Pete watches the chopper land a short distance away, next to several police vehicles. Sometime later, Pete and Lucio approach the river on horseback.
This is where we cross.
Is the water deep?
A little.
Mike wakes up, slumped over Lucio's horse.
Hey! Now! Now, goddammit! Now!
He bites into Lucio's leg, and Lucio throws him off the horse, shouting, "Fucking gringo bit me, son of a bitch!"
Fuck you! Fuck you, sons of bitches! The hell with this, I mean it! You sons of bitches! Fuck you! I don't need this bullshit! I mean it! I'm serious!
Pete lassoes him.
Fuck you!
He rides into the river, dragging Mike behind him. Mike struggles to keep his head above water. Pete trots onto the opposite bank, dragging Mike across the sandy ground, Lucio following close behind. Pete and Lucio ride into a town, Mike now slumped over Lucio's horse, while Lucio leads another horse behind him, Melchiades hanging over it. They approach a house where an old woman sweeping outside. Lucio says, "Donna Adriana, is Mariana at home?" And the old woman replies, "Yes, she is." She regards Pete suspiciously and asks, "What's going on?" Now, Mike's lying on a bed, shivering. Mariana, a bandage on her nose, says, "Is this the one that got snake bit?" She glances at Mike, then says, "Get this gringo out of here. He's the one that broke my nose." Lucio asks, "You sure?" "Hell yes, he's got a face like a white rat." "He'll die," replies Lucio. And she snaps back, "Let him die." Pete implores her, "Please, heal him." She asks, "Why?" Pete takes off his hat and says, "Because I need him alive." Mariana heats up a blade over a flame on the stove. She brings the knife over to Mike and sits beside the bed. She puts a cloth on her lap. She glances at Pete, and he holds down Mike's legs, while Lucio pulls Mike's arms over his head and holds them down. She sinks the blade into his swollen, blackened foot. Mike writhes on the bed as Mariana grips his foot and squeezes the swelling. She extracts some leaves from a jar of greenish liquid and puts them on the wound. She then wraps a bandage around his foot. Curtains billow gently in the breeze blowing through the window. Mike's unconscious. Mariana feels his forehead. Will he get well? Mariana replies, "From the poison, yes. But if he gets gangrene, we'll have to cut his foot off." Meanwhile, a bus pulls up outside the cafe and the door springs open. Luan trudges towards it, holding a suitcase. She climbs on board and the door closes behind her. She sits on the front seat as the driver pulls away. In the cafe, Rachel watches the bus drive off. She turns away from the window, her arms folded in front of her, looking thoughtful. In a rundown cantina, a girl's playing an out-of-tune piano, while customers are sitting at tables chatting. Pete's perched on a stool, looking pensive. A black-and-white TV's on, sitting on a wooden shelf surrounded by fairy lights sprinkled on the clay wall. Pete turns his attention to the TV. He sips his drink, then puts down his shot glass. He looks across at the landscape, miles and miles of shrubland, and in the distance, a mountain range. An enigmatic smile plays across Pete's face, and he rubs his forehead tiredly. A look of sadness settles on his features. The barman answers the phone.
Diga. Tu llamada está lista.
To Pete, he says, "Your call is ready." Pete takes the receiver. Rachel's counting out money at the till.
Sands Restaurant, how may I help you? This is Rachel.
Rachel.
Pete? Where are you?
I'm in Mexico.
You know the Border Patrol is on your ass.
What's Belmont doing?
He went on vacation. He said he had nothing to do with this. That's all between you and the Border Patrol, and he wanted to go to SeaWorld.
Pete smiles, but it slowly falls from his face.
Rachel. I want you to come to Mexico.
What for?
Marry me. Be my wife.
Are you crazy? I can't do that.
Why not?
Because I love Bob, Pete.
You said I was the only one you loved.
Pete, you don't understand. I have to go. Take care.
She hangs up, leaving Pete with a dial tone. Rachel's hand hovers over her mouth, her face troubled. Pete hangs up the phone and staggers drunkenly out of the cantina. He trudges past a house, glancing through a doorway. He walks into a small shrub, then steps over it awkwardly. He heads into a shed, where Melquiades is sitting on the floor against the wall, wrapped from head to toe in blankets tied around his body with a rope. Pete looks at him for a moment, then slowly crouches beside him. He leans against the wall and takes off his hat. He puts his hat on the floor, then pulls away the blanket from Melquiades' head, a second blanket underneath covering his face. He unties a short length of rope on top of the head, twisted around the second blanket, then pulls it away, revealing Melquiades' face, more decomposed than before. The skin a greenish brown, the eyes milky, the lips parted.
We'll get you home pretty soon, Melquiades. Any day now.
He looks at his face.
You look like hell, son.
Pete grabs a small brush from a rack and runs it through Melquiades' mop of messy black hair. But the strands just come off on the brush. He looks at the brush hopelessly, then slumps back against the wall and drops it on the floor. Still lying on the bed, Mike grabs his crotch as he stirs from sleep. He leans up, looking around in confusion.
Good morning.
Lucio is standing behind him, holding a cup.
Where am I? En Ejido Los Lobos, municipio de Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico.
Mexico, shit. Who are you, man?
Your private 911, dude.
Mariana comes in and says the gringo asshole woke up.
She's gonna check you up.
Yeah, easy.
Easy.
Mm. Acábatelo.
Drink.
¿Hay café caliente?
She asks, is there hot coffee? And he replies, freshly made. She tells him to bring the pot, and he does so. She takes off the lid and pours the hot liquid over Mike's good leg, then smashes him in the face with it. Lucio looks shocked as she marches out of the room, declaring, now we're even, asshole. Pete's outside with some locals sitting in a circle, peeling ears of corn. Mike stumbles around the edge of the house, his hand still cuffed, and leans against a wall, watching them. He staggers closer to the group. A teenaged girl regards him nervously, then offers him an ear of corn, saying, want to help us? He takes the corn, then sits on an empty chair in the circle. He glances at the others with a somewhat bewildered expression, then strips the leaves off his ear of corn. Pete and Mike trot slowly through a rocky, sun-ravaged valley. Mike slumped over his horse along with Melquiades' body. Approach a steep, rocky slope. They slow to a halt as they reach the base of the incline.
We'll have to walk it from here.
Mike looks at the slope with trepidation. He swings his legs over the side of his horse, then stumbles off, crouching low to stop himself from falling.
Come here.
Mike limps over to him, and Pete takes off his handcuffs. He takes Mike's boots off his saddle and hands them to him. Mike sits on the slope and gratefully pulls on his boots. Mike's about to get up when Pete puts a hand on his shoulder.
You try to run away again, I'll kill you. I guess you know that by now.
Yes, sir.
Pete leads the horses up the slope, Mike holding onto the tail of the horse at the back. A group of cowboys are sitting by a truck watching a soap opera on TV.
Do you even know how much new tires cost? Do you even know what the mileage on your little foreign car is? Do you even know when the oil changes do? Do you? Tell me. I want you to tell me.
Johnny, is there someone else?
What do you mean, is there someone else? Someone else what? Someone else putting a roof over your head? Someone else paying the
Johnny, bills? You've been so distant, so far away. I cook, I clean house. I wonder what your mother would say. I really do.
The cowboys look up when they see Mike and Pete approaching.
Buenas tardes.
I know
Buenas tardes.
No, it's not.
One of the cowboys says, want some coffee? And Pete says, yes, sir, please. Pete and Mike climb off their horses, and Mike limps over to them.
Gracias.
Siéntese.
Sit down. Pete says, can you sell us some food? And the cowboy replies, I'll give it to you. We have fresh meat. He shows him the carcass of a bear in the back of the truck and puts a cut of meat into a sack. He says, take what you want. We had to kill him. This fucking bear was killing too many goats. Mike sips some liquor and nods his appreciation. Pete asks, is this Coahuila? And the cowboy replies, yes, you're right here in Coahuila. Pete asks him if he knows how to get to El Tostón, and the cowboy points and says, 20 kilometers that way. When you hit the Sierra, head south and you'll get there. Another cowboy gives Pete a drink, and he sips it.
You're throwing your life away, Johnny! Don't do it!
I know this one.
Please.
You see? That's it. That's exactly it, right there. That's what I'm talking about. It's always the same. Always the same!
As Mike watches, his face crumples, and he hangs his head to hide his tears. A young cowboy asks, what did the guy on TV say?
Let's go!
Pete shakes hands with the cowboy who gave him directions. And as Mike stands up, the other cowboy offers him the bottle, telling him to take it for his troubles. Mike takes the bottle and nods his thanks. As he trudges after Pete, he glances at the TV and breaks down into tears. Pete and Mike ride slowly down a street, past a blue-painted building with arched windows. They ride past a young girl and boy sitting by the side of the street with some fruit and vegetables laid out on a blanket. They stop outside a shop, and Pete gets off his horse. In the shop, two women are sitting behind a counter, one braiding the hair of the other. A man sitting at a table with a drink. Pete comes in, and they look at him curiously. He takes two bottles of beer out of a fridge and sets them on the counter.
¿Cuánto es?
Son 20 pesos.
¿Aceptan dólares?
Yes, it's $2.
You speak English?
Yeah, everyone here speaks English. We all worked on the other side. What are you doing here?
I'm looking for a town. It's called Jimenez.
Jimenez? No, there's no place like that here. Oye, María, ¿tú conoces una?
She asks her friend if she knows of Jimenez.
Ninguna.
Oye, Manuel.
She says to the man, Manuel, you ever hear of Jimenez?
Jimenez? No, around here.
Pete goes over to him and sits down.
He said it was a little village about 10 kilometers away. Entre el Tostón y el Nacimiento.
No. The only village around here is called Los Chilicotes.
Do you know this woman? Her name is Belia Camargo.
Yeah, I know her. But her name's not Belia. It's Rosa.
Do you know that man? He's the one who lived in Jimenez. His name is Melquiades Estrada.
No, we don't him.
What's he done to that woman?
I don't know. Why you didn't ask her? She lives around the corner.
Pete standing by a washing line with Rosa, who regards him nervously.
Speak English?
Poquito.
Pues, señora, Melquiades was a good friend of mine. I'm sorry that I have to tell you he's passed away.
Who is Melquiades?
Melquiades, your husband. He's passed away and they brought his body back from Texas.
No conozco nadie que se llame Melquiades.
She says, I don't know anyone named Melquiades.
Well, this is you and that's him.
She says, what are you doing with a photo of me and my kids? He replies, Melquiades gave it to me.
Please, Senora, you can tell me the truth. He was a good friend. You were married to him, weren't you?
Hey, señor, deje decir tontería.
Don't talk foolishness, because you'll get me in trouble with my husband, Javier Martinez. And we don't know any Melquiades.
Señora, perdón.
Excuse me, ma'am. I didn't want to offend you. But Melquiades was my friend. Go see Don Casimiro. He knows everybody that comes to town. Maybe he can help you. Pete and Mike are sitting in a garden with Don Casimiro, who's looking at the photo.
No. I don't know him.
He throws the photo on the table.
Know anything about a little town called Imanis?
No. It doesn't exist around here.
Mike stuffs his mouth with food and looks curiously at Pete, who wears an uneasy expression. Don says, I know for sure it doesn't exist. Why? Okay. Mike shakes his head. Mike and Pete are crossing an open plain on horseback.
Friend lied to you.
No, he didn't.
Jury did.
They come to a stop, and Pete takes out Melchiades' map from his shirt pocket.
There's no Jimenez, man. Wake up.
Pete scans the landscape, then turns the scrap of paper over in his hand, trying to decipher the handwritten scrawl. He looks around helplessly. Now, the two men are riding slowly up the crest of a hill covered in shrubland. Behind them, a sun-baked landscape of rocky peaks and rolling hills.
That place doesn't exist.
Yes, it does.
There is no fucking Jimenez, man! Don't you see there's no Jimenez?
It exists. Jimenez is un lugar bien chingo.
He remembers Melchiades saying, Jimenez is a beautiful fucking place. It sits between two hills. The air is so clear there you feel like you can hug the mountains with your arms. A stream of clear, clean, fresh water bubbles up right out of the rocks there. If you go to Jimenez, I swear to you, your heart will break with so much beauty. Mike and Pete stare out at a landscape of rolling green hills. Pete moves on, trailing Mike's horse from a rope behind him. They come to a grassy area where there's a cluster of trees and some stone walls that look like the remains of a building. They slow to a halt in the shade, and Pete swings one leg over, half dismounting.
This was Jimenez.
This is Jimenez. He gets off the horse.
It's just like Mel said it was. Got good water. And that's the house.
Gesturing to the walls.
Door's right on yonder.
He points to an area of scrubland. Mike seems unconvinced.
Graveyard.
Mike's eyes fill with tears. Pete gestures to another section of the land.
Garden. Right there. See? Just like that, right there. See?
He holds up the picture of Rosa and her children.
Yeah. This is it. You found it, Pete.
Well, get down.
Pete and Mike carry bundles of wood over to the stone structure and set them across the walls, fashioning a makeshift roof. They crisscross some large beams, tying them with string to hold them in place, then place some thinner branches across the gaps. Mike sweeps the room. Melchiades' body leaning against the wall, still wrapped in blankets. Mike places some leather sacks beside the wall, and Pete closes a makeshift gate made out of branches. Mike takes a handful of clay out of one of the sacks and stuffs it into the gaps in the stone wall. Pete hangs a sign on a post which reads, Jimenez, Coahuila. He climbs down from the wall where the signpost is and crosses over to Mike. He sits beside him, and Mike offers him a half bottle of whiskey. Pete takes the bottle and draws a swig. The two men look at their work, and Pete claps a hand on Mike's shoulder.
You got a grave to dig.
The third burial of Melquiades Estrada. Mike's on his knees, digging a grave with a piece of flat stone. He drops the stone and looks at his aching hands. Pete and Mike carry Melquiades' wrapped body up a slope and over to the grave. They put the body into the grave. Mike claws dirt over it with his hands. He picks up handfuls of dirt and puts them on the body. Pete leads Mike over to the house and forces him to his knees in front of a tree. He props the photograph of Rosa and her children onto the tree in front of Mike and says, ask Melquiades for forgiveness.
What? Ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness right now. I'll go to hell right now.
I don't believe in hell.
Pete shoots at the tree, then shoots at the ground around Mike.
I'm sorry! I swear to God, I'm sorry.
Mike hangs his head, sobbing, broken. He raises his dirt-stained hands in supplication.
I swear to God! I swear to God! I did not mean to kill him. That was a mistake.
Pete slowly trudges away.
I didn't want it to happen. That hurt me. I regret it every single day. Forgive me. Forgive me. Melquiades. For taking your life, forgive me.
He clasps his hands on his head and stares at the ground, quietly sobbing. That night, he's sleeping against the stone wall. Nearby, Pete standing over a campfire and staring off into the distance, his thumbs tucked into the pockets of his jeans. The next day, Pete standing over the sleeping Mike. He kicks the sole of his shoe, waking him up. Mike looks up at Pete, a little disoriented.
You can go now.
Mike looks away, confused and uncertain, then slowly brings his gaze back to Pete.
Where? To your wife.
Mike leans up slightly. Pete glances around, then looks back at him.
I always thought that you'd end up killing me.
You can keep the horse, son.
Pete takes the reins of his horse, and Mike watches as he climbs into the saddle. He rides away. Mike sits up and watches Pete receding into the distance. Clouds of dust shimmer in the sunlight beside the tree, and the remaining horse trots a few paces past the trunk. Mike watches Pete getting smaller and smaller as he leaves.
You gonna be all right?
There's no response, and all Mike can do is sit and watch, a troubled frown etched into his features.